Hearing is conditional use number 2503, Hastings Community Energy Initiative LLC.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a solar energy facility to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 33.69 acres more or less. The property is lying on the east side of Normandy Lane, a private lane accessed off of East 7th Street. The 911 address is not available, and the tax parcel ID is District 132, Map 1, Parcel 11.00. Submitted into the record, Mr. Chairman, we have a copy of the applicant's conceptual site plan. We have a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet and exhibits. We have a copy of the applicant's presentation. We have a copy of the staff analysis report document. We have a copy of the DelDOT service level evaluation response letter. We have a copy of a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. Note that we have received four comments, which are included in your paperless packet. Thank you.
All right, so we thank you. The chair recognizes Mr. Hutt.
Good evening. For the record, my name is David Hutt, a local attorney here in Georgetown with the law firm of Morris James. This afternoon, I'm representing Hastings Community Energy Initiative LLC, which is the applicant for the conditional use application that was just introduced by Mr. Whitehouse a moment ago. Thank you. With me to assist this afternoon, as they may be needed, to my right and your left is Todd Fryatt, the CEO and founder of ECA Solar, which is the affiliate of the applicant that I just introduced. Sitting right next to him is Michael Redding, the director of civil engineering for ECA Solar. And then on my left, your right, is John Falkowski, a professional engineer with the Becker Morgan Group, who are the project engineers for this facility. And sitting next to him is Whitney Pogwist, who's a representative of the family ownership group of this property. This application this afternoon deals with renewable energy, which is a primary focus of national, local, state, basically all governments. In 2021 here in Delaware, Governor Carney signed a law requiring Delaware's renewable portfolio standard to increase to 40% by 2035, which basically means that's the percentage of Delaware's energy that must come from renewable energy sources such as solar energy. As part of the laws that were enacted in 2021, as part of that renewable portfolio standard, a process was established in Delaware for what is designated in that statute as community-owned energy facilities. I know this Planning Commission and the Planning and Zoning staff are very familiar with these applications, as I think you are now exceeding the number of 40 of those types of applications that you have seen over the past year or 2 years. Of course, in addition to the governmental mandates, businesses are making similar pledges and promises. Many Fortune 500 companies have promised to their shareholders and consumers that they're going to decrease their environmental footprint by becoming carbon-free energy users and pick a year by 2030 or 2035. Of course, in order for governments, businesses, and even individuals to accomplish these goals to convert renewable energy sources like sunlight into energy, applications like this are necessary. This afternoon's application is for a 3.75 megawatt facility on approximately 15 and a half acres of a property that's a little more than 33 acres just south of the town of Blades. This application is a community energy facility of the kind of the nature I just described from Title 26, Chapter 10 of the Delaware Code when the governor enacted the renewable portfolio standard. But with that background on why we're here this afternoon, I wanted to very quickly orient everyone to the property, then ask Mr. Falkowski to review the details of the site plan. After Mr. Falkowski reviews the site plan details, I'm gonna ask Ms. Pogwist to speak as to the commission as to how she and her family became interested in this solar energy opportunity as a use for their property. By way of a quick introduction to the site, you can see it where it's located on the screens. The property is, as I mentioned, a little more than 33 acres. You can see that it has a connection to Normandy Lane. As you'll hear from Mr. Falkowski, that is not the entrance that will be used throughout the life of this solar facility. The northern boundary of the property that I just mentioned, as I just mentioned a moment ago, is actually the town of Blades. This would be the municipal limits of the town of Blades. If you've been over there, you would know that, of course, that is also the Little Meadows single-family home community that is within the town of Blades. The Little Meadows community is the nearest residential neighbor to the property, as you can see by looking at this image. The other areas that surround this property are larger tract, either wooded or farmed. As I mentioned, Normandy Lane here on the upper left-hand corner of the property will not be the entrance. Instead, the connection to a public roadway will be on a 40-foot wide easement that extends from the property to Sussex Highway or Route 13. That is a recorded easement. It's recorded here in the Office of the Recorder of Deeds in Book 6058, page 332. To help better orient everyone, I know Route 13 is a big road, so to help orient everyone, we labeled a landmark that's been there for a long time. This entrance would be just south of where the guide is located on Route 13. And in fact, the entrance would run just along the facilities that used to be the Delmarva Paving Company, if you're familiar with that area, also along Route 13. The state strategies map show this property here as being a mixture of level 1, 2, and 3 investment areas, likely because of its proximity to the town and municipal limits. So it starts as a level 1 and then decreases as you move further away. Sussex County's comprehensive plan describes the property as being in a developing area, which, as you know, is one of the county's growth areas. And you'll hear from the owner in a little bit that other individuals have recognized this and have approached the family about other uses for this property, again, likely because of its designation on the comprehensive plan as a developing area. The areas to the south of this property, this wooded area, and also to the west of the property, are in the county's low-density area. The area between the property and Route 13, as you would anticipate, is in the commercial area on the future land use map. And as I mentioned, of course, the town of Blades is along the northern boundary of the property. The zoning map mirrors those comprehensive plan designations. This property is zoned AR1, as are the properties to the south and west. To the east, between this property and Route 13, the property is zoned C1, General Commercial District. And then Little Meadows and the town of Blades, the properties there are zoned in their R1 single-family residential district. At this time, with that introduction to the property, I'm going to ask Mr. Falkowski if he would review the site plan and some other details of the solar facility that's proposed for this site. After he's done, I'll ask Ms. Pogwist to make a few comments.
Thank you, David. And for the record, my name is John Falkowski, professional engineer with Becker Morgan Group. And I will run you through some of the elements on the site plan. Next slide. As David mentioned, we will not be using Normandy Lane for either construction or permanent maintenance access. That road will be left alone. Vegetation or anything will not be disturbed on that road. All access will be taken off the highway through the existing entrance. It is a paved access that eventually quits, and we will be extending that road into the site for both construction and permanent access with a 16-foot wide gravel road. That road will continue down the 40-foot easement where the property starts here. The property is mostly wooded. You can see on the site plan here, this orange boundary is the fenced array area. Everything inside that fence will be the array, plus it will be planted, as you've seen on some of the other applications, with a pollinator meadow mix to help reduce stormwater runoff and keep maintenance low. The fence shown here, there are some pictures in your packet, but that is what they call a knot wire fence. It's a typical agricultural fence with 4-inch openings, and it would have the mesh screening that Ms. Wingate was alluding to earlier. Although on this property, we would propose that mesh screening be on the north side and the west side, where it is most close proximity to the neighbors. We would request that the south side not receive that mesh screening as it's directly adjacent to wooded property in Morgan's Branch. So we will be clearing the woods within this area of the array. And then there is, it's a little hard to see on this plan, but in your packets and on the site plan, it's a little easier. There is an area just outside of the array that will be cleared, but the stumps left. So it'll be stumped and the vegetation and everything will be left in place, and that will be left to grow back. It's more for shading of the facility. So we will also be leaving the vegetated buffer along the north side. It's roughly 60 foot in width. So we are not proposing a proposed landscape buffer in this case, but we are proposing to leave a just over 60 foot existing vegetation on that north side, as well as the northeast side. And it shows up on the site plans we submitted as well. There is a 150 foot buffer that is between our property and the adjacent neighborhood. So that will remain in place as well, although we do not control it. It is a connective easement. We are showing a stormwater management area here. You've not seen that on other solar applications. The reason for that is most of the applications have been agricultural land. And the way Sussex Conservation District is reviewing those types of applications is you're converting an agricultural land to a meadow, and that gets you your runoff reductions in and of itself. In this case, since it is wooded, the meadow condition almost mimics the runoff characteristics of the wooded property, but there would be some stormwater management required. So we'll work with Sussex Conservation District to propose, it could be a pond, but that's not 100% yet. It could even be a filter strip or bioswale, some sort of stormwater management BMP, and we'll work with the district to finalize those details. But ultimately, the runoff will not be allowed to increase off of this project to the Dorman Branch to the Nanticoke River. So I'll just run through some of the design standards. Most of these are in the ordinance, and you're very familiar with them. We already discussed the size of the facility. There are benefits, and ECA can speak to these, to the program that you've heard about before, but does provide lower power costs to subscribers in the area. There's no increase in traffic with these types of facilities, typically 1 to 2 vehicles a month just to maintain the property. It is a renewable energy source that does not produce odors, dust, gas, smoke, or fumes. Any inverters will be centrally located, and very low to no noise coming from that equipment. Again, I spoke to the runoff reduction that will be required of the project, whether that's through a pond and a combination of the meadow grasses provided. We will leave the buffer along the north, really along all the sides, but the north is the widest at 62 feet. The knot wire fencing with mesh, again, on the north and west sides would be our request. And at the gated access to the facility, there will be a Knox box provided with a turnaround for the fire department for those emergency provisions to the facility. We will provide a decommissioning plan for the project. And then also important to note here, about 3 weeks ago, we had a community meeting at the Seaford Fire Department, and we had a very good turnout. Had a lot of residents from the community come out, and we helped answer a lot of questions for them, I think. A lot of people left with a lot better feeling for the project, knowing all about it. And one thing that we did mention in that meeting and our commitment here tonight that others will probably speak to as well, but because we are clearing 15 plus acres of woods, ECA and the applicant is committed to providing a conservation easement on another parcel within the Nanticoke watershed. They do have a parcel in mind, but should that fall through, they would provide an agricultural easement on a minimum of a 30-acre parcel in that watershed. They're looking, that parcel is wooded, but should they look for another parcel and it's not wooded, their commitment would be to reforest that property. And then we have just a couple of aerial renderings here to show. This is to the northeast. You can see the mesh green woven fabric on the fence. You can see the existing vegetation that would be left. That is the residential community there. And then this area along the backside is that stumped area I was referring to. This is looking towards the north, so from the south side, where you'll see the knot wire fence, some of the stumping that is left, and all the existing vegetation that would be left in place.
Let me ask you a couple questions.
Sure.
What is the ground elevation relative to the general elevation of the Little Meadows development, and how tall are the solar panels at their maximum height?
I could check on the elevation difference between the community and this. It's roughly the same. It's pretty flat from that community to facility, and then it starts to drop.
County, right.
And then it does start to drop off as you get closer to the branch.
I'd ask, but yeah. And how about the height?
I'd say within plus or minus 5 feet of the development to the solar facility, and then it starts to drop off as you get closer to the branch. Okay. There's some elevation, some grade differential.
Okay.
And your second question?
How tall are the panels?
They go from at full tilt. I think they're 2 feet at its lowest, and I believe 9 to 10 at the tallest. Right? Correct. So 10 feet.
All right. Thank you. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No problem. Just one more rendering to the southeast. You can see the gravel road that is coming off of 13 along the horizon there, and you can just see the view of the existing vegetation that will be left in place. Again, it would have the mesh screening along that side so that when it's not as green as you see here, it still would have the screening provided on that north side. With that, I'll turn it back over to Mr. Hunt.
I'm going to turn it right over to Ms. Bogwist and ask her to explain how the family became interested in this solar opportunity.
Hello, I'm Whitney Hastings Pogwist. I'm one of the property owners in the lead project for my family on this. I own it with my two cousins and my aunt. We inherited the property from Norman Hastings 22 years ago, 2003. The property's been in my family a very long time. It used to be owned by Howard Lane before that, and actually part of the property was even tilled, and then my grandfather planted trees on the property prior to 1964. So we've been sitting on the property for 22 years. We haven't done anything with it. My grandfather left it to us to prosper from it. So we really haven't done anything at all. In 2016, we did get a quote to timber the property. But we tabled that. So, and then when I started, when we wanted to figure out what we could do with the property, I had contacted a realtor to explore all options. We also had, because we had somebody approach us about purchasing the property to put storage units on it, which would obviously cut down all the trees. And when talking with the realtor, is obviously looking for a developer that would be interested in putting townhomes or homes on it as well. But when I was at that meeting, I also noticed that they did solar. So I was very interested in that concept. So he had given me more information, and that's what put me in touch with ECA. So our feeling is that we like going the solar route because, one, the property will stay in our name for 30 years, okay? We're leasing the property. Our children would inherit that. In the meantime, as we're receiving a lease from the property, we have, you know, we have choices what to do with it. We're all over the age of 60 that own this property, so either for retirement or our kids' college funds, whatever we may be using that for. But we also like the concept of the solar field because to deter from future large development going there. So we thought that out of the options we were considering, timbering, storage units, development, solar field, right? So we have 30-some acres. We're only disturbing, I think, 17 acres of that, so the rest of the woods will stay there. And then after our lease is over, there's maybe options to renew or either have to return the property back to its normal state. The trees are very, very old. I know when we were getting estimates to timber the property, they have reached a lot of their growth. A lot of trees were dying on the property. So we like the idea of a solar field. We like the idea of contributing to sustainable use in the community and offering the town of Blades the opportunity for energy credits for their bills as well. And it's really out of sight, out of mind, if you'll notice the map, because we're really off a very large right-of-way. Nobody from the Route 13 is going to see it. Little Meadows is not going to see it because of the buffers. And we really like that ECA was very eco-friendly, even though we're cutting down trees, that they're planting a meadow, they're giving a means for wildlife to be able to have habitat within the solar field as well. And we also like the idea that they weren't cutting down the trees and popping the stumps, that they were leaving the stumps for new vegetation to grow from the stumps. So that will be happening over time. So that's why I'm coming to you for approval for this project. We feel like this is the most least invasive way to develop the property, for us to prosper from the property. We've waited very, very long not to do anything with it. And we just think that this is the best community-minded project we could do with everybody in Blades in mind. Do you have any questions?
The items on the screen are things that I know the commission has seen many times before regarding the conditional use standard. And I know that the county has found over the last couple of years that these community energy solar facilities are of a public or semi-public character that are desirable for the general convenience and welfare, meeting the conditional use standard set forth in section 115-171. And as you know, this is one of the conditional uses that has special requirements that were in the legislation that was adopted. And this application would certainly be subject to all of those special requirements. In addition, of course, this is consistent with goal 7.3 of the county's comprehensive plan, which encourages the use of renewable energy options like solar arrays and facilities. As I mentioned at the very outset, and you just heard a little bit from the last two speakers, there is a proposal that is a bit unique with respect to this application. So I'm going to hand these proposed findings of fact and conditions to Mr. Whitehouse. There were some in the project book, but these are an update to those from what's in the project book. As those are handed down, I think they've now reached Mr. Mears. You will see that many of the proposed conditions are the typical conditions that the county has used as it considered these applications. I want to make sure that if there's a bibliography page for this report, that Mr. Robertson gets credit for drafting most of these conditions. But the two conditions that are a little bit unique in this application are condition C. We can look at that first. And that is what was described with respect to the mesh covering for the screening. What's proposed, as was shown on the renderings, is that that mesh covered screening be on the northern side and the western side, which is the closest sides of the solar facility to the residential uses, and not on the other sides where there's a larger expanse of woods next to the solar facility. In addition, this condition also talks about the fact that the landscape buffer will consist of the existing 50-foot wooded area rather than the applicant going out and creating a landscape buffer along those areas. The second condition that I wanted to focus on is condition I. And condition I is what you heard just a moment ago from, again, both speakers regarding a conservation easement. And the details are there, but the conservation easement that the applicant would be required to be placed under this proposed condition is an easement for at least 25 years, again, the projected lifespan of this facility, and that this easement be placed on a minimum of 30 acres within the Nanticoke River watershed. I know one of the letters that's of record in this is from the Friends of the Nanticoke that directly referenced concerns about the impact that this might have on the watershed. And certainly, this is a renewable source of energy, so the goal is to have a positive impact on the environment. And so this is a hope that that will help to accomplish that. And as you can see, the acreage that's proposed is actually about the approximate acreage of the site, which is more than the acreage of the woods that would be removed as part of this application. In addition, you'll see, as far as an enforcement mechanism, I know it's often a question that the Planning Commission asks, the final sentence of condition I states that the final site plan shall identify the property subjected to the conservation easement, and that way the Planning and Zoning staff and commission will have a means of verifying that there is a conservation easement that is going to be placed and that this condition will be fulfilled. That concludes our presentation. Certainly myself and any of the other individuals who are sitting here in the front are happy to answer any questions that the commission may have.
All right, sir, we thank you. And we'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you. And we'll start with Mr. Collins.
Yeah, generally supportive of the project and adding the requirement of securing the 30 acres and either reforesting them or preserving them as forest certainly helps. I was going to ask the question, though, just so that we know, what is the difference between what carbon may be prevented with the solar panels during the course of the lifespan of this project versus what the trees that are already there would possibly help to prevent release into atmosphere? Do we have any idea? Has anybody done a study? Because we do see these projects come up often and usually not with offering to retain forested land elsewhere.
I can tell you I am certainly not equipped to answer that question.
Perfect.
But I believe that Mr. Redding may be. So if you could introduce yourself to the commission.
Good evening, Michael Redding with ECA, Director of Civil Engineering. There's been a few studies done by universities to try to quantify some of this. When you compare it to shutting down a coal plant, it's roughly for every 1 acre of solar, it would be equivalent to like planting 10,000 trees. And if it's shutting down a natural gas plant, it's the equivalent of 1,000 trees is what your offset is to. Nuclear, there's no issues with nuclear as far as greenhouse gases, so we can't really compete in that.
Thank you. I don't think I have any other questions. I think you've addressed other concerns.
If you do, we'll circle back.
Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Wingate.
First, a comment. I appreciate the efforts that the homeowners have done, or the property owners have done, with doing your due diligence and what would be the best use for this, or best application that you'd like to make on that. I appreciate your efforts there. I just have a question because this often comes up, the inverters. I believe that's what makes the most noise. Is that the only location that you have on your site plan? Because that looks like that's shown on the closer side to the existing housing development. Is that the only location that you have to?
Yeah, we,
go ahead. Yeah. Which picture do you want up? Is there one that's better or is that good?
That's a good one, yeah. Okay. So you can see where the gravel road ends and there's that equipment pad. So the way that our configuration for the array is set up, centrally locating those inverters allows us to maximize the efficiency of that electricity, all right? So the wiring and everything to make the project as most efficient, that's the best location. It does set itself fairly, roughly 200 feet away from, or more from the back door of the nearest resident. Most studies that have been done on inverters that show that anything beyond 50 feet is a very much of a whisper sound. And the inverters will make a noise like a commercial air conditioner. So when you're close, you'll hear them. But as you get further away, and then when you have some sort of vegetative buffering, it really dampers it quickly. Our intention was still to put some sort of sound barrier on that side regardless. So as we move forward with our planning and zoning application, you'll see a wooden structure that'll be on the northern side of that structure. Belts and suspenders, we don't want any concerns.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That's all I have for now.
Mayor?
I don't have any, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Anybody else?
Not for me, thank you.
Staff? Okay. Counselor?
None for me, thanks.
All right then. Mr. Hutt, if you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here interested in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2503, Hastings Community Energy Initiative, LLC? Yes, sir, this gentleman right over here on the right-hand side.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Bill Andrew. I live in 6 Mitchell Moore Court, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. For those of you who don't know me, I spent 44 years of my professional life keeping the lights on this peninsula. The last 16 from 2004 to 2021 when I retired as president and CEO of Delaware Electric Cooperative, where we built several of these type of facilities to serve the co-op members. One of the things I'm very concerned of is people feel that solar energy cost and renewable energy costs so much more, and it's been one of the problems that is causing our electric bills to go up. That's completely false, okay? That's the problem that we have is we live on a peninsula. We do not have any local generation at this point in time to support the load we have here. We have to import it all in on transmission system from other power plants out of state or in the northern part of Newcastle County. So that's caused some problems. The loss of the Indian River Power Plant makes it very, very touchy from an operations person like myself to think that, you know, we rely only on the transmission lines that run 100 miles down and power plants that sit 100 miles away from us. Community solar offers a 10% reduction in the cost of the energy for those subscribers, but that's not the only benefit that we receive here. With respect to the local generation, it gets placed on the distribution system. And we do not have smart electrons, so it really doesn't make any difference who buys it or whether it goes to Baltimore or New York or wherever. But this is going to stay on Delmarva Power customers. That's the way it's been designed, the way it's been operated. These electrons serve the local area and go directly to load through the path of least resistance. They don't cross each other on the lines as you go down. Another big benefit that we have is you reduce the loads that we have on our system, and it gives us the advantage of being able to add additional loads and some growth in the area. But in the same time, we reduce the losses associated with that, and it precludes any premature upgrades of these lines because it reduces the load. When you look at the big picture, it helps reduce the transmission, the capacity costs that we've heard so much about, and could be up to 40% of the cost of energy that you have. And it also has a positive benefit for congestion, and that's when the lines load up. We are a summer peaking area, and as a summer peaking area, the solar energy works the best during the summertime because the sun's out longer. These things work in a benefit not only for those who subscribe to it, but as a benefit for the entire community. It's completely, there's no carbon content associated with it, and it's local, and it's the only thing that we've got right now in order to keep the lights on. Thank you very much.
All right, sir. Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor? Yes, sir. Come on up.
My name is Keith Redmond, and I represent the 90-home Little Meadows community that's adjacent to this solar land. Our undeveloped phase two is directly adjacent to this land. And the survey of our members are in favor of this project in our community, and we're looking forward to this energy being used to reduce our electric bills. We're all aware of the last coal plant in Delaware that closed, and we are directly to get the benefit from this project.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else like to speak in favor? All right, is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2503? All right then, anyone on the commission have any questions, statements? Okay, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us.